I know that most of you are not on Facebook, but a few of you who are fans. See, if you get a Facebook page, you can become a fan of St. Matthew's in the City. St. Matthew's has a Facebook page. And they're kind of fun. It's a place where you can make comments. You can keep up with some of the bits and pieces of parish life, see pictures of events, listen to sermons or watch them. And while I was on holiday, I was following St. Matthew's Facebook and found that one of our fans, Allie, in Vancouver, Canada, asked if I was going to continue my Wisdom for Dummies series. While gratified by this overwhelming demand for more such sermons, I haven't answered her yet. I have no idea if there will be more or not. What I do know is that after reading Cynthia Bourgeois' The Wisdom of Jesus, which I've talked about before, I feel like the two young fish who, while swimming along, happened to meet an older fish swimming the other way. He nods at them and asks, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" The two young fish swim on for a bit, and then eventually one of them looks over at the other and goes, "What the hell is water?" Jesus, the wisdom teacher, has brought me up short by asking about the water. He's changed my beliefs. This may be surprising. I no longer believe I am the absolute center of the universe, as we are all hardwired to believe or to think at birth. I now believe Jesus' intent was to wise us up, not to become our personal savior. He wanted to challenge our assumptions about reality. He wanted to raise our consciousness to a level where we see the falseness of otherness, the idea that life is all about us versus everything else. He wants us to discover that we are part of a greater whole, one with each other and our environment, and all is divine love. I now believe this, so now I see it. It colors everything for me. It alters my response to the challenges of daily life. It impacts how I relate to others. In essence, it shapes my experiences. And Allie, I suspect it will filter how I read the gospel and nuance how I preach it as I continue to explore its meaning and live into its reality. That was certainly true when I read the story of Bartimaeus. Well, I've read it many times before. This time I couldn't stop laughing. Mark is a masterful storyteller, but I hadn't fully appreciated his capacity for humor. Blind beggars are not exactly at the top of the social ladder in Jesus' day or ours. Bartimaeus was not on the must-invite list of the social climbers in Jericho. In fact, to the upright moral people of Jericho, he was invisible, at least until he starts yelling for attention. Nice twist, Mark. They try to shush him, but then the guy that can't see tells those with sight but no vision that Jesus is the Son of David. You have to love the irony. Since the poor can't afford good manners, Bartimaeus keeps yelling. All he has is his need. So he keeps on yelling and yelling. So Jesus takes a deep breath and does what he does best. He asks Bartimaeus a question, the same question he asked the rich young man 2 weeks ago. "Okay, relax, mate. What do you want?" Biblical scholar John Deere wrote a book called Questions of Jesus. It turns out that while the powers that be want there to be known answers to difficult questions, common answers that bind people and quell dissent, Jesus had a different idea. Jesus was about helping us live life abundantly, not parceling out answers. He wasn't the answer man. He wanted people to think things through for themselves. Jesus only directly answers three questions, three out of 183 questions posed to him in the four Gospels. In contrast, Jesus, the wisdom teacher, the guide, the respecter of persons, is recorded as asking 307 questions of others. To Jesus' question, Bartimaeus, who has little to lose, asks for the seemingly impossible. I want to see. Now, Mark is really twisting the ironic knife here. The only one in the crowd who has the wit and wisdom to see that Jesus is the Messiah says to this same Messiah, I want to see. In essence, Jesus tells him he does see. His faith in the possibility of a new reality has been realized. This new consciousness that exceeds even the disciples has done the trick. He believes so he can see. Then, unlike the rich young man and the crowd swarming Jesus, his belief changes his experience. He moves from sitting and being by the way to being on the way, living into this new reality. While Bartimaeus' belief gave him the vision to see that healing love was within reach, beliefs can easily cause us to become blind to the obvious as well. Research has shown that even minor tweaks to one's expectations can cause a form of blindness. A simple experiment developed by University of Illinois psychologist Daniel Simons provided a dramatic demonstration of this effect. Simons' experiment consists of a 25-second video clip of six people playing a basketball game. Three are dressed in white t-shirts, and three are dressed in black t-shirts. The white team is passing a basketball amongst themselves, and the black team is doing the same. During the game, a person dressed in a gorilla suit comes out, beats on his chest, and walks off the court. The gorilla is not camouflaged or understated in any way. It's blatantly obvious. And yet the majority of people viewing the clip do not see the gorilla, provided they're asked one simple question. How many times do those in white t-shirts pass the basketball? While asking questions can lead to improved vision, clearly not all questions are equally good. Some invite us to miss the obvious. There once was a man who wanted to know all about the creatures living at the bottom of the sea. So he created a huge net with weavings that left openings of only 3 inches wide. He laid it down upon the ocean floor, let it set a while, and then pulled it up, capturing all in its grasp. Then he examined the contents and prepared a report on his meticulous research. It was all fascinating, he said. So many different creatures and varieties. The thing he found interesting, though, was that there are no creatures smaller than 3 inches that inhabit the ocean floor. There are all kinds of questions I ask with gaping 3-inch holes in them. They tend to be unfocused, mild, eclectic, even harmless and entertaining. But mostly I know them because I already have an easy answer for them. Why don't I ever win lotto? Because life is unfair. Why does he or she act like that? Because they are, fill in the blank, a woman, a man, a gay, straight, a Republican, an American Republican, naive, nasty, a jerk? Since I already have an answer, they require no further thought or action. Jesus' questions are different. What do you want? What do you really want? What are you looking for? What do you need? What exactly is holding you back? What are you willing to risk? These are the kinds of questions that try to net what is essential to our lives. They are deep and probing. Seemingly simple, they are focused and threatening to the status quo of the familiar. These are the questions that are the work of faith. There are no quick and easy answers to them, but they move us along the way. But there are roadblocks. As we grow in our awareness, we become clearer on what is essential, more centered on the simple power of our oneness, and less subject to manipulation. But our change can be a threat to others who sense the change and react in irritation or dis-ease. It seems we can stand almost anything except a loved one's new life that requires us to examine our own. As the diffuse potential of being on the way comes into focus, we begin to see what we might lose: the illusion of control over our lives, the comfortable quilt which has excused so little transformation, the identity of victim, half competent, or cripple, which has left us sitting by the way, irresponsibly lost in our darkness. Our hope is to have the courage of Bartimaeus, to go forth trusting in the divine love that surrounds us and infuses us like fish in water. If we believe it, we can see it. Better yet, we can experience it. Amen.